Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug Hayes, and he rappers screaming, maybe 15 secrets, 50 as a pop art journalist, his feet, there's still not one that he won't see, but Doug of the movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies! This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles on Tuesday, August 9th, to Ocean's 11. Apologies to any babies or prophets who were offended by last week's show. And thanks to everyone who came out to the boner episode taping of Doug Loves Movies at the Comedy Factory in Baltimore, Maryland, available soon. Or now on iTunes for $2. My flight to Baltimore was delayed, you guys. We had to start the show late, start about an hour or so late. I didn't eat dinner because we raced over to the club, and people sent up drinks right away. So I was blackout drunk by halfway through the show. Like, I had to listen to the show to find out what happened. After about halfway through, I only remember to a certain point. And I can't say that it's a great episode, but it is certainly, train wreck was used a lot in tweets the next day from people that were there. So I'm just saying, let the buyer beware, you know, caveat emptor, buy this at your own risk. But thanks again, Baltimore, for being patient with the late start and for sending up all the shots. Thanks also to the 600 peeps who came out to my show at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, and to the 6,000 plus 311 fans who screamed at Graham Elwood and I during our entire appearance. On stage at the Pow Wow Festival. It was really fun to be there, but the audience was just like, the whole time, and Graham was like, "I'm gonna do a bit," and the audience was like, and then he'd stop, and so our whole performance was crazy. It was mostly me kicking beach balls back into the crowd. But I, like I said, I had a great time, and I can't wait for the next 311 cruise. It's going to be in May, Two Oceans 12. Oh yeah, Peanut. So the number one movie in the country right now is Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which three people enjoyed. We have some monkeys in the audience. I haven't seen it yet because I refuse to see any movie that has "of the" in the title twice. New rule. I'm going to be at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana on August 21st doing a Benson Interruption. And please bring your name tags, because I'm going to have a special guest come down to the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana and play the Leonard Maltin game head-to-head against audience members. So that's going to be a lot of fun. My guests tonight are three of my favorites. Please welcome... Traffic pending. One of them might not be here yet. Please welcome James Gunn, Steve Agee, and Jeff Garland. All right.
Only two of us.
Fair enough.
No Jeff.
No Jeff Garland.
Hi, Jeff Garland.
He's stuck in traffic. He called me from his cell phone. There's an RV tipped over on the freeway.
There is. Did anybody else drive down? Do you see that thing? It looks like an RV fell from the sky. It's just like a big smashed open RV. Like, I literally thought it, I was like looking for a cliff that it fell from. But it's, there's nothing around it. It's just a big smashed open RV.
It's like something out of Magnolia.
Or
the original draft
Donnie
of
Dark.
Magnolia.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
one frog makes an RV flip over.
I think it's from the future.
James Gunn. That was James Gunn talking about the RV, everybody. Super is out on DVD today. Yay. Oh, I love that movie. I saw it 2.5 times. And
why half?
As front row Jordan with the baseball nose. There was a half a time because we did some sort of Q&A thing, and I only saw the first or the second half. I forget which.
Is that the time you did the Q&A with Michael Rooker and Sean Gunn? And was
we did one Q&A with Michael and Sean and Steve, and
which was like the first
no
the
one
worst
told
Q&A ever,
it was
right?
Amazing.
Well, it was. I had a great time. I thought the audience had a great time, but Michael Rooker and probably Sean were not told that I was a comedian.
They were confused,
and they also thought you were going to be there. So they were like, "Why is
why are three
one of them
extras,
was like, why isn't my brother?
Why
they were both, why isn't my brother
doing
here?
A Q&A?"
Yeah, three actors who are arguably supporting roles.
Yeah.
So there was no leads there. But we still had a fun Q&A because Rooker is fucking Rooker.
Yeah.
And your brother's funny. And then Steve Agee was there.
I remember
last time
we were here, we were about halfway through. I was here with Rooker, and we were halfway through the whole show before Rooker realized... You were the same guy.
I was that same guy.
Q&A with 1 week
and he was
before.
Like, that guy wasn't funny, but you're funny.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's my crowd this time. But yeah, it was fun. I love doing all that stuff in support of that movie because I saw it at South by Southwest and loved it. And
are you reading this?
No, I looked down to see what's next. That was from the heart. This next part was written down. The opening title animated sequence is fantastic. I love how all of the characters are out of breath at the end. I wrote that down.
Yeah.
Because that is amazing. Because I saw it today. Somebody tweeted just the opening title sequences
out there. Yeah, there's a website called Art of the Title, which is a pretty cool website, which just goes through different title sequences and how they came about, how they were made, and it shows you the whole title sequence.
Yeah, I'd say yours is probably the best one. What's another good one over the recent years? Like the
Zombieland had a great
one. Oh, Zombieland was cool. And I really liked... Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can was great. And they do older stuff like Vertigo and things like that as well. But it's a great site. But yesterday they posted the super titles and talked to Shad and Julia Vickerman and the folks who put together the title from a company called Puny Entertainment.
How much notage did you have to give them? Like how much back and forth was there in creating that?
There was a very... Well, here's the weird thing about the opening titles is that I originally hired another company to do the opening titles. And... when I saw their because in the script it was kind of specific. It's like, this happens, Michael Rooker, shoots beams out of his eyes, and then this guy explodes, and then at the end it becomes a big dance sequence with everybody from the cast dancing together. And I got the first draft of their opening titles, and there was like three people kind of like moving a little bit you know, shaking. Like, that was their dance sequence. And I literally, truly cried because it was so different from what
you're
I
like,
wanted.
Why isn't Greg Henry in the dance sequence?
Yeah, where's Andre Royal?
Yeah.
And where's Steve Agee?
Oh, Bubs from The Wire is in Super. I love that guy.
Yeah. And so I fired them and hired Puny Entertainment, who does Yo Gabba Gabba, you know, and they came through. So the first time I saw it was great, but there was a script to it. I mean, it says, you know, but they added a lot of stuff and they really took it all the way. We had a few, you know.
It's so fun. And when did the song become a part of it?
Oh, the song. The song was a part of it from the first time I wrote the script. I imagined that song, Czar's Calling All Destroyer, being part of the opening, you know, credits. When I first imagined all those characters dancing to the song, I imagined using that song.
It's amazing. It makes you so pumped for the movie, and then the movie's so heavy and dark and fucked up that it's a great experience.
It cuts directly from the big dance sequence to a very depressing scene between Kevin Bacon and Michael and Rainn Wilson.
But you said that on Twitter today, you said that you think that more people have seen it since it came out today on DVD than the entire theatrical release.
Everybody's
seeing it today.
I've gotten just hundreds and hundreds of messages from people who have seen the movie on Blu-ray and DVD today. I think especially from the East Coast, once it started becoming like evening time there, it's been coming in all day, and it's been pretty fun, pretty exciting.
You can get it anywhere now, and you can go to such
Target,
a limited release.
Walmart, Best Buy, I think there's an extra DVD with extra stuff on it.
Oh, really?
We're going, Rain and I will
the
be
the original there. Animated sequence.
You guys are going to do a signing here. This is going to plop on Friday, but for the people sitting here, you're doing a signing tomorrow at Amoeba?
At Amoeba, yeah.
Okay, cool. So check that out if you're here in this audience now. If you're listening, don't bother to, don't like try to get a train or plane ticket. Or Steve, were you upset that your super character wasn't in the opening animation?
I was in the opening animation.
Oh, then I take that one back.
I very briefly, you can see me.
What are you doing that?
What am I doing? I don't remember. I think
you blow. There's a little. You're in the background blowing yourself.
Yeah, that could be it. Jerking off. Or
Yeah, you play the like comic book store jerk off.
Yeah.
Like, do you work there or are you just hanging out there?
I think
you tell me. What's your backstory of your character? Just one line.
I work there. Yeah.
That's what you do because you're behind the counter sleeping.
You work there with Ellen Page.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I just want to throw this out there because I know there's one person at least one person that listens to this podcast that's an Academy voter. So I think there should be a serious campaign for Ellen Page for Best Supporting Actress for her performance in that movie.
Great.
I agree.
Rainn Wilson's awesome too, but to hope for a Best Actor nod would be like, that's really crazy. But for her, since she's been nominated previously and is so amazing and is a very pivotal.
And then when they do, you know, when they introduce her at the Academy and they show the scene, you know, with her scene, it could be the one either where she rapes Rainn Wilson or the scene where she makes fun of the way mongoloids look. Because that's the kind of thing the Academy loves.
It will be troublesome for the clip department at every TV station in the world. But
the part where she talks about how her vagina is gushy.
Gushy. Ugh.
Anyway, she's great in it, so I'm going to campaign for her. I campaigned for, you know, the girl who played Hit Girl last year. So
look how that worked
out. That didn't really work out. My campaigns can't do anything, but I still try. So, Jeff Garland, let me ask you this. I'll ask Steve will play Jeff, and I'll ask him the question I wrote down for Jeff. What do your kids think of Wall-E? Isn't it fucking bleak for children?
My kids went to the movie. They didn't even know it was me.
Nothing makes me happier than Jeff Garland laughing while he's telling his story. So
how's it sound?
I don't know. It's amazing.
Oh, God. He's
if he gets here, I'm sure
he'll
be.
Let's talk about him as if he's dead. He was so great.
I know he was heading over in his
RV.
I know he was heading over in his RV.
Yeah.
He was heading over in the sequel to RV. And Robin Williams was yelling, and Cheryl Hines was like, "We've worked together." So what have you guys seen lately? Have you been to the cinema lately with all the excitement of Super coming out?
I saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes this on Sunday, which to me was by far the best blockbuster of the summer. I mean, I loved it. And I got teary-eyed.
Hold up. Better than Green Lantern.
Barely.
Barely better.
Better than Thor.
But that's liked it. I'm having trouble getting into it.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen
Dude,
it.
Dude, it's great. Did you guys see it? Those monkeys.
The reviews are pretty good. It gets 3 or 4 stars from pretty much everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I heard the studio didn't have. I mean, they didn't show it to people until like 3 days. They didn't show it to critics like till like 3 days before the.
Why do you think they didn't know they had a good movie on
their
hands?
You know, because studios are idiots. They always, you know, they don't know if a movie is good or if people are going to like it, and they have other movies they put out there right away that they think are going to be big hits or not big hits that people are going to like, and other ones they don't. But I mean, people love the movie. I went to see it with 8 people this weekend. It was my birthday this weekend, and
happy birthday.
Who cares?
And I went to see it with like 8 people, and every single person I was with loved the movie. So I'm very
that's great.
Very
I'm glad happy. You all liked it, and I hope I will like it. But I'm still I'm skeptical.
It's the emotional part of it works, and it's great seeing those apes run around and kill humans. You are 100% wanting gorillas to kill humans at the end of the movie. I mean, it's like every time a gorilla throws a guy off a bridge, you're happy.
Yeah, like Tom Felton's really mean to the monkeys, I heard.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
I saw Arthur on the plane home from wherever I was, and I didn't love it. But you know what? I was charmed by Russell Brand and the one girl in it, Greta Gerwig.
Yeah,
and
she's
I thought these two are both very extremely likable, and their throwaway lines are really funny. Like, it's a movie with a horrible plot, and all the throwaway lines are funny.
Yeah.
So it's like it's charming, on a plane. But if I was in a movie theater, I'd be like, "When's he going to get caught between the moon and New York City?" did you guys see Captain America?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
But the people in the audience, did you think the cinematography was extra dark on that movie, or is it just me? Because I saw a 2D version of it, and some guy wrote me a long email hipping me to the fact that apparently theaters across the country and the world are being lame about, like, when a movie's 2D and not 3D, they're, like, not switching over the proper equipment, and so that, like, movies are being projected darker when they're supposed to be 2D, but they could have been in the 3D theater or some. It was such a long, complicated thing. I was like, by the end of it, I was like, I don't care anymore. But so, apologies to anyone who, if you're in a theater and the movie seems too dark, I guess you could complain or say something to somebody and not assume that it was just photographed that way.
By the way, I love that people clap just when you said 2D. Which I agree. I fucking hate.
Oh yeah, I've been on a crusade. Like I really seek out 3D movies and 2D, and I'm kind of frustrated because I don't think Glee in 3D is gonna have any 2D showings. Because it's for an exclusive 2 weeks only. That's so weird when a movie comes out. 2 weeks only. Oh, like they're not going to fucking keep it around if it's doing good business.
Yeah.
It's more like just trying to trick people into going immediately and getting a better number on the opening weekend. You should have tried that with Super. You should have said 1 night only. Oh, held over to Saturday.
We did that by accident.
We're going to Sunday. That sort of thing. This is crazy how late Jeff is.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he'd just be a few minutes late.
No, it's bad. I'm telling you, I left really early, and I barely made it, so.
Is there a chance he won't make it at all?
No, that's unlikely.
Okay. Yeah. It's 7:52 Pacific Standard, and we're going to wrap this up at about 8:15, so what do you think? When do you think he's going to get here?
Wow.
8. I think it'll be really
5 minutes.
Close to 8.
Five minutes? Yeah.
I want to start the Leonard Maltin game in 3 minutes.
Is Arthur drunk? In the movie?
Yeah, he's
because
got,
in the
he's
trailer he's not drunk.
Well, yeah, they don't. For some reason, they don't push that in the trailer. I don't know why. I'm always amazed by how, like, drunkenness and being high are like so treated so differently, like in the media and stuff. Like, if you watch any episode of Ellen in the afternoon. She's not going to make any references to anybody being high unless it's like about some crazy hippie that did some weird thing.
Yeah.
But she goes to the let's get drunk well. She makes jokes about drinking a shot or doing scotch like all the time. And her biggest fan base is probably women who would sign up for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. But somehow it's still funny to reference drinking, but not at all funny or okay to mention marijuana. What are your thoughts?
I think it would be...
That was ridiculous. What does that have to do with movies?
I get mad at Ellen so much.
Well, and then it's time to dance, and you're like, I forgive her. She's dancing through the audience. I wish I could do that, like my show every night. Don't have to prepare any jokes. Just say, hey, it's time to dance. And I just dance through the crowd, and then I interview Justin Timberlake.
Does Ellen seem like an awful human being to you? Is that
well,
even a thing to say? No, I mean, seriously.
Very
she
evenly
seems,
divided audience.
I know there's like this. I know you get a big crossover with the Ellen crowd, Doug Benson, but
she's good at the. But
I'm
she's
not
good at projecting
she
as she's good at projecting that she's nice on the TV show, and I'd say off camera she is not as nice as you.
That's
as she
what,
is on camera, but she's also not terrible. I hope.
That's what my.
I mean,
guess
I know a lot of writers that like she's fired.
My assist. This is. I'm going to get somebody in trouble, but my assistant used to work for Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
And people are not contractually they're not allowed to talk about other people. You know, of course I try to get her to talk, you know, tell me shit about Ellen DeGeneres all the time and she won't do it, but she makes a face. And I don't think she does it on purpose.
She smiles real big.
Yeah,
every time you bring up her name, just
she makes
lights
a face.
Up. I have to tell you, I tried to write some jokes for her for the Emmys one year. I don't think she did a single joke of mine, but it was still, you know, fun to hang out and that whole process was interesting to me. But one time I was at her house and Portia de Rossi like walked in, mm-hmm. and you know, from somewhere, and so they sort of said hi or whatever, but they sort of like made out for a second in
yeah.
front of me, and it probably was one of the top five things that's ever.
Most embarrassing story ever. When I first moved to Los Angeles, I lived with Jamie Kennedy, and I went to. I did. I lived in. I lived
Wait,
in
is Jamie. That the embarrassing story?
That's the beginning
the whole,
of an embarrassing
the whole
story
thing?
That has been more embarrassing.
He was great on Entourage this week, buddy.
I lived in Jamie Kennedy's guest house, and I went to the Scream 2 premiere and spent a whole night coming on to Portia de Rossi. For real. For absolutely for real. I completely thought I was in there and then was very surprised when things didn't work out.
No, the whole night you were like, this uninterested bitch thing is really turning me on.
Yeah.
She was really,
this is really appealing.
She was really nice. She seemed to like me. She hung out with me. We were hanging out, but it didn't. Yeah. That part didn't happen.
She seems very sweet, and you know, and her involvement in Arrested Development makes her untouchable in my mind because she was great on. She was great on it and seemed to get it, you know. And she's good on that Better Off Ted, and she's good. She's a good actress. All right, Jeff is still not here. For those of you noticing that Jeff Garland isn't doing all the talking. I invited him down here thinking he would dominate this show and we wouldn't get to have any of the conversations I wanted to have, and now I've had all of those. And I wish
I mean,
you,
is it
I,
so
I
late that we should
here.
Get someone else to come in, you know, for the Leonard Maltin game? Like, Wayne
I don't know. That's
Sam,
that's what I'm wondering is, like, at what point, because we got to play the game, so we could just have the two of you play against each other, or we could... We could nominate an audience member to play on Jeff's behalf until he arrives.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's a good idea.
All right, let's see your name.
Wait, wait, wait. Somebody who looks really stupid.
Jeff isn't really stupid. But let's see your name. Where's the name tags, you guys? Everyone doesn't have name tags tonight. Jordan, of course. Oh, what am I talking about? Jordan.
Put Jordan up there.
Come on. You say you're terrible at it. Come play. All right, it's Jordan, everybody. He's here every week with his baseball. He's never won. Have you ever? You've never won, right?
Never won. Over five.
Five people have played for him, and he's never won.
A good chance he'll win
now. Now here's a chance for you to play and win for yourself. This is exciting.
No, don't worry about that.
There's somebody with a skateboard up there. That's an awesome name tag on a skateboard. All
can
right,
I,
so
can I play for somebody, I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to play for somebody.
Okay, awesome.
So, I love Pez.
Steve has already got his. He's playing for Matt with the Batman Pez dispenser.
The skateboard, guys. That's going too far.
James wants a skateboard. If you can go grab it, James, that'd be
But I'm really pat. Awesome. I've lost every time.
What do you mean every time? You've only been on twice before.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah. Third time's the charm.
Last time I
Jordan's going to pick one. Is there any baseballs out there? have a baseball kismet? Oh, he got a banana. That's nice. Another B word. That's fun. Jordan with the baseballs playing for Jude with the banana. It's like a terrible film title from the 70s. And what's the name on your skateboard there, James?
Meredith. Is my person.
Nice.
Yeah.
She wrote her name on the bottom of the skateboard. Does he get to keep it?
No.
She's needs no a ride home.
Yeah.
And Steve got a Batman Pez dispenser that someone took a Sharpie and wrote Matt on. I assume it was Matt who did it. Let me check my messages, see if Jeff's even trying to text. I guess he's obeying California law and not texting while driving.
Yeah.
Even though he's probably stuck in, like, if I get stuck and it's not moving, I feel like texting's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
At that point, because then you're just going to get an offender bender at worst.
Yeah.
Laws don't apply when there's traffic.
Yeah, it's like every man for himself. Or monkey. If you're on the Golden Gate Bridge and the climax of Rise, why didn't they call it Giant Erection of the Planet of the Apes? All right, here are the categories. Let's let Jordan start us off.
Great.
Playing for Jeff Garland, playing for Jude. Jordan, Jeff, Jude. Would you like, which category would you like, Jordan, Jeff, Jude? Would you like Vanilla Ice? That's movies with either vanilla or ice in the title. Because movies starring Vanilla Ice are just one. At Norito Ott, O-T-T, suggested bad movies, which are movies with bad in the title. And then it's Anna Kendrick's birthday today, but I just wanted to give her a shout out. She doesn't have enough movies to qualify. She's been in four movies and all the Twilight films, so it'd be too easy, I think. I don't know. She said she shouldn't be a category. We talked about it. But Tom Lennon is also celebrating a birthday, another former guest on the show. So in honor of Anna's birthday and Tom's birthday, let's do movies that Tom Lennon is in. Which one would you like?
I'm going to go with the crowd and go with the Tom Lennon movies.
Oh, nice.
Right. Even though I know like one.
The crowd loves him. This movie's from 2009. Leonard gives it 2.5 stars. I'm just looking around.
Did Jeff Garland just
walked in? I thought maybe Jeff walked in. And he's like, oh, there's no seat for me. That's exactly what he sounds like. 2.5 stars from Leonard, this 2009 motion picture from the category. What was the category?
Tom Lennon movie?
I was just testing you. The two main characters are sharply drawn and well played. And TV star Lou Ferrigno plays himself. That's a pretty strong clue. It's from 2009, 2.5 stars, and there are 12 names. How many names do you think you get it in, Jordan? Then we'll go to James Gunn.
11. 11 names.
Smart opening bid. Why take any risks? James, what do you think?
Well, I know I saw this movie, but I can't remember exactly what it is, so I'm going to say...
You shouldn't give
he's
that
gonna under. He's
you
gonna
shouldn't
under,
give that away to your competitors.
I know, but he's going to underbid me. So, 5 names.
Okay, that's good. Strong. Steve.
I'll say 2 names.
Nice.
Yeah.
Come back to Jordan playing for Jude.
Name it. Name that movie, Steve.
You get 2 names.
Yeah.
Do you want the clues again?
Yeah. Or just the names.
Lou Ferrigno plays himself. 2 main characters are sharply drawn and well played. 2.5 stars, 2009. And your 2 names are Lou Ferrigno.
And Sarah Burns.
Is it I Love You, Man?
That's correct! Steve Agee on the board. Jordan challenged him. We'll start with James and then go to Steve. And your category options are, it's Sam Elliott's birthday today, so the film's awesome. Sam Elliott.
That's awesome, dude.
I love that guy. Summer blockbusters, because, you know, it's summer and there are blockbusters that happen in the summer. And at Kellyanne Rogers suggested Cowboys and Aliens. That's movies that have either cowboys or aliens.
Jesus, that's like every movie.
Yeah.
That's most of the film.
I'm going to go ahead and do Cowboys and Aliens.
All right. This movie with cowboys or aliens is from 1992. Leonard Maltin gives it 2 stars. He says about this movie that it is followed by a sequel and has some good performances. All right, I'll give you one more.
Also every movie.
I'll give you one more. A feeling of deja vu hangs over the proceedings, he says, about this movie that has good performances and was followed by a sequel. And there's 2 stars, 1992, and there are 9 names. Some whispering in the audience. James got... Wait, I thought we were going to... Yeah, we'll start with James?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what I said?
I'll do it with... I can do it in 8 names.
All right. This time we go to Jordan. So we switch the order around each time.
I'll go 7 this time. I'll give it a little bit of a shot this time. 7.
You would have a chance if you could hear 7 names.
I'll say 6.
Steve Agee says 6. James Gunn?
Okay, I want Steve to name it.
With 6 names?
Fucker.
And Steve's already on the board with a point? This could end
good
right
chance
now. This could
that.
End right now.
I'm not going to.
This could end right now. Then we'll do 10 minutes of talking about Jeff Garlin and whether or not he'll make it. This is some Jack Bauer shit, y'all. All right, 6 names. Pete Postlethwaite. The late Pete Postlethwaite.
And this is 92?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
There was a sequel after it, and Deja Vu hangs over it.
Was Pete Postlethwaite in
good
the
performances.
Sequel?
Can I?
That doesn't
you
matter.
Can't,
okay, go ahead.
You can't ask that many questions.
Yeah.
Lance Henriksen, Danny Webb, Ralph Brown, Brian Glover, and Paul McGann from 1992 has cowboys or aliens in it. Somebody just whispered species. Shut up.
92.
Why does whispering make it okay? Loud whispering. Species. Or maybe that's just how that person sounds when they sneeze. Bless you then. Gesundheit. What do you think, Steve?
I have no idea.
Name a movie that has cowboys or aliens in it from around 1992.
Well...
That would get 2 stars. So it's not,
that has a sequel, so I don't know. I mean, I would have guessed like Tombstone or
the
something.
The sequel thing is a confusing clue, I'll admit it. Right now. I just couldn't find anything else. Everything else gives it away. More of the same sequel... you give up, right?
Yeah.
More of the same sequel has Weaver and other survivors of aliens on an isolated prison planet where, you guessed it, the alien regenerates itself and runs amok. Oh, you got the word amok in there. Isn't he smart? A-M-O-K. Anyway, Alien 3 is the name of the movie, and who made you name it?
That's me.
Gun.
James made you name it, so...
We're tied.
Very exciting. You each have a point.
Jeff Jordan, Garland's doing terrible.
But that, you know, Jordan told us ahead of time that he's not good at it, so I think he's doing great.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
I'm very impressed. And you get to start this time. And then we'll go, what would be the reverse order? Go to James?
Species.
People are still whispering species. Is that a category suggestion?
I thought he said Spaceballs when he first said it, which I thought would be I would love to see a Pete Postlethwaite role in Spaceballs.
He was Chewbacca. Oh no, that was John Candy was the Chewbacca in that. Okay, so Jordan, you get a pick, right?
Yeah, I get a pick again.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Movies that feature a lion, tiger, bear, or all of the above. At Big Moser, M-O-S-E-R, suggested One Fine Day, which is the films of Rafe or Joseph Fine.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
And then we'll give you once again Vanilla Ice, movies with vanilla or ice. Which one would you like?
I have no shot at this one at all. But One Fine Day is actually my favorite chick flick, so we're going to go with that one.
That is not a bad chick flick.
I love it. I love it.
It's not good either, but... Okay. 3.5 stars from Leonard for this 1998 spirited, entertaining speculation. He calls it a speculation. What a weird word to use. But accurate when you once you know. And he says that it's witty and sensual. All right, so it's 1998. It's spirited, entertaining speculation that is witty and sensual. He gives it 3.5 stars. Either Rafe or Joseph Fine is in this movie, and you have 11 names.
Yep, 11.
Jordan
11
says, names. Jordan's going with a strong, passionate 11 names. And we go to James.
8 names.
Name that movie.
Fuck me. Fuck. Okay.
By the way, you could have included the movies of Larry Fine.
He doesn't spell it the same way, and how many features did they do? Was it always just like the Three Stooges in outer space?
Yeah.
And the Three Stooges go to Camp David. Okay, I think you're going to get it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm confident in you with your 8 names. Do you want the clues again?
Yeah.
3.5 stars from Leonard, 1998, spirited, entertaining speculation. That is also witty and sensual. And your 8 out of 11 names are Anthony Schur, Martin Clunes, Tom Wilkinson, Ben Affleck, Imelda Staunton, Colin Firth, Simon Cowell, and Judy Dench.
Simon,
people in the audience.
Simon Cowell?
No, no, no. Callow, C-A-L-O. C-A-L-L-O-W, Callow. Simon Cowell is not the fifth billed person in a sensual, witty... It would be a speculation. It would be a speculation.
Is it Shakespeare in Love?
That's correct. Judy Dench, of course, Oscar nominated for that, so that's a big clue. Ben Affleck wasn't bad in that, I thought. Under the circumstances?
What are the circumstances? That he sucks.
Well, no, just that...
No, he doesn't. He's actually okay sometimes.
Yeah, but just that guy from the kinds of things he was doing was suddenly in this movie about Shakespeare, and he pulled it off.
Right,
Yeah.
All right. Okay, does that mean I win?
That means you're the winner, yeah.
All
you
right,
got the
great.
2 points. You win for Meredith. I never told anybody what's in the prize package, but I'll do it now because people deserve to know. You get a DVD and CD of Super.
It's a DVD and a Blu-ray.
A Blu-ray, what'd I say, a CD?
Yeah.
You get a CD of the movie Super. Listen to it, seriously. If you just listen to it, you'll find out some things. The visuals, they oversell it. No, a Blu-ray, I'm just not used to Blu-rays because I haven't got it yet.
Really?
I don't do it yet.
Why?
Because I'm dumb.
It's great.
I don't watch a lot of movies at home.
It's great. We got great stuff on here. We got a commentary with me and Rain. I'm totally plugging. We have a commentary with me and Rain, and then behind the scenes.
And a How to Fight Crime featurette.
It's actually extra footage of the Crimson Bolt and Bolte fucking around in South by Southwest and a bunch
of
shit.
I love it. I love it.
Deleted scenes.
So those are in there. And you know, if you didn't win today, then go and get it some other way. And it's Super, no 8, just Super. And but they'll be right next to each other for all time.
That's right.
In alphabetical listings.
It will be a little first.
Which is pretty awesome. And then he also brought a copy of the screen, an unbound copy of the screenplay. So it feels like it's fresh out of the typewriter. This is some Barton Fink shit. And it's signed by everybody in the movie, as far as I can tell. Yeah.
Got Rainn Wilson, Ellen Page, Liv Tyler, Kevin Bacon, Nathan Fillion, me. Who else?
Looks like you got Molly Millie to sign it. You got Schmingelmangel. You got Andre Royals on there.
Andre Royal, Bubs Michael Rooker, Greg Henry, Sean Gunn.
Yeah, and Steve Agee brought a copy of the Sarah Silverman program script called Nightmare.
It's the one where Brian and I got married.
Yeah, and he wrote Let's Get Gay on it. Let's get gay? Nothing? Okay. Jeff Garland, since he's not here, I brought something on his behalf. A Curb Your Enthusiasm notepad that I got at a thing once. And then, of course, the Doug Loves Movie sticker. Doug Betts, a professional comedian. And I brought Woot Monkeys, of course. Somebody gets a Woot Monkey. And some of the audience gets one. Are there any babies in the crowd tonight? You've been very quiet tonight, babies. Oh, back row, nice. Congratulations. I've never gotten it that far. That's what she said. Jordan, thank you. Jordan, thank you for playing for Jeff. Nicely done. Jordan.
Thank you.
Sixth time in the game, still hasn't won the prize package. You get to name a shithead, of course. Please stay away from things I don't want to say. Really? Here, go ahead and write it down. And where is Meredith? Is up there. You get all this stuff. So if you can make your way down here, that'd be awesome. Because it's hard for me to get to you. She doesn't care. She just like keep that stuff. Oh, there she is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Meredith. Congratulations, Meredith. And who are you playing for, Steve? Where's Matt at? Matt, you come name a shithead for me. Jordan?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's an interesting shithead.
Really?
Yeah, I got a Brody Stevens. I'm a big fan of his, and there's some stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, they're having a, there's a thing, but yeah, hopefully they'll work it out. I don't even know who that is. I think I know. Is that the guy from... was he on Desperate Housewives?
I don't know. It's the first name that popped in my brain.
Okay. All right. I have a beef. I have a beef with that show too. All right. One more time, everybody, for my guests, Jeff, Jordan, Garland. He probably just gave up and drove back home or something. Because he would have come up here. I hope he would have.
Maybe
come
he
up
stopped
on stage
to help, Doug. But probably not.
I've seen the movie RV. Maybe I could help out. I'm going to keep working on that. Maybe I could be in the direct-to-DVD Wall-E 2. James Gunn, everybody. Thank you, James.
Happy birthday, James.
Always a fun guest. And
I didn't tell you about it. Steve sent me for my birthday a picture of his balls, and he sang a song that the chorus was, "Happy birthday, James. You're a little older today. Fuck you, James."
Well, the picture of his balls thing is just because it's not your birthday. It's because it's a Tuesday. And or whatever day it was. If Steve sends something with a picture attached, I don't open it. So lesson learned.
Usually send emails that say, "Hey, we should go to this weekend," and then when people open it, it's
yeah,
like, we should not go to this weekend.
Yeah, we should go to my balls this weekend. And did I get another round of applause for you, Steve Agee?
Thanks, Doug.
We will reschedule Jeff Garland for as soon as we possibly can. And I'll be taping a podcast this weekend at the Del Close Marathon at UCB in New York. And I hope that I see some name tags in the crowd. And then I'll be at the Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis August 16th through 18th, and Hyenas in Dallas and Fort Worth August 28th and 29th. All of my tour dates are at douglovesmovies.com. And as always... Zach Galifianakis is a shithead. I'm gonna bleep that one. And James Denton is a shithead.
There's no room.